Potomac in Chicago. I'm a political assassination researcher, and you've heard me from time to time on this station. If you like what you've heard, then support this station with some donations, because this is a community radio station, and they count on you. I mean, where else are you going to hear some of the things we talk about? The CIA, political assassination, the possibility of banks coming crashing down. Some of the regular stations are afraid to death to talk about these things. But it's all discussed here, and your donation would help keep this station going. So come on, let's hear about it. Send in your money. And you'll keep these far-out subjects going on the air here. I suppose it's better than a bottle of aspirin to deal with getting bored or getting a headache from having something monotonous. What you hear here will not be monotonous. It might scare the heck out of you about various presidents in the United States being shot at or knocked off all the time, all the way from Lincoln to date, and who might have been behind it. I mean, especially if you have, if you really don't get into those things and haven't researched it, you're going to hear it here. I think that's a good reason why you should kick in with some money to support this station.
Welcome to the International. Are we on? Welcome to the International Connection. Today I'd like to give a sample of a May Brussels ball of wax. This is something which shows the stickiness of the people involved with Big Brother over the last 40 years. If you apply a little heat anywheres, it spreads and gets sticky with all the other characters. I'm going to start off with a particular person, Gordon Novel, and show how he touches on a lot of bases and a lot of characters over the last 40 years. I'd like to have an opportunity to do this for about 5 minutes, sort of a verbal guitar solo. After that, I hope that people will pledge money to get me to stop. If I, if let's say I'm up to the 7 minute mark and you can't take it anymore, pledge at least $50 and I'll stop. But if we get up to $100, I'll and before that, I'll stop, even before the seven-minute mark. Okay, starting off with Gordon Novel. He recently was involved in helping John DeLorean get relieved from dope charges in San Francisco. Gordon Novel, to begin with him, you have to realize that he was charged by Jim Garrison as being involved in the Kennedy assassination, but he sought refuge in Columbus, Ohio, which was the headquarters for DISC, which was the Defense Industry Security Command. That was the intelligence network for Permandex. Permandex was set up in 1945, 2 days after the end of the war, by William Donovan and William Stevenson. The corporation was called the World Commerce Corporation, and it was a network of 700 corporations dedicated to keeping Russia out of Germany. Gordon Novel worked for the World Commerce Corporation. In 1945, the World Commerce Corporation was called the British American Canadian Corporation, but in 1947, it was changed to the World Commerce Corporation. On the board of Permandex in 1963 was John Connolly, the governor of Texas. He was in the car that was shot at. But John Connolly shows up in 1981 being involved in the Nazi network's invasion of the Dominica. That also involved people in Toronto. The Aryan Nations, which is now in trial in Seattle, was involved with this invasion. The Aryan Nations was set up by Werner Naumann. Werner Naumann was, now to go back to 1945, Werner Naumann was appointed by Hitler to be Joseph Goebbels' successor. The end of the war stopped that for a while, but he served in 1950 and was able to rebuild the Nazi network thanks to John McCloy, who was on the Warren Commission and the cover-up of John Kennedy's assassination, which involved people like General Edwin Walker, who, on the day after Kennedy was shot, called Werner Naumann's newspaper in Munich to say that Lee Harvey Oswald was a communist. However, Jack Ruby shot Oswald the next day. Jack Ruby had been a runner for Al Capone in the 20s and 30s, and he also was used by Nixon to help in his activities for the House Un-American Activities. Also from Chicago was Paul Marcinkus. Paul Marcinkus became the banker for Pope John Paul II and was implicated in the Bank Ambrosiano scandal, which involved monies through the Nazi network that connected to Mehmet Agca. And we just had the death a few weeks ago of Baker Kalink. He and Oral Kalik were connecting with Francisco Pazienza in Miami and with the Aryan Nations Brotherhood, who are on trial today. But back to 45, Werner Naumann moves up his network into the 50s and under the guidance of Reinhard Gehlen, who helped set up the CIA. Reinhard Gehlen appointed Otto von Bolschwing to run the secret Gehlen network in the United States. He was Adolf Eichmann's superior. That's Otto von Bolschwing. Otto von Bolschwing's secretary, Helene von Dahn, became Ronald Reagan's secretary while he was governor in Sacramento of California. Otto von Bolschwing was exposed by a friend of May Brussel in 1982, but he unfortunately died, so they couldn't do much investigation in his past at that time. Baker Kalink died on October, just before he was to provide valuable intelligence and explanation of his involvement with the shooting of Pope John Paul II and also why the Bank Ambrosiano collapsed. The Bank Ambrosiano involved another death of Henry Arson, who was doing the arms and drug smuggling and was being helped by Karl Heinz Hoffmann, a man who helped set up the network of paramilitary groups in Germany, similar to John Singlaub's network in the United States. Jeff had just mentioned John Singlaub in his relation to celebrating the World Anti-Communist Resurgence in Dallas. Dallas was where Kennedy was killed. Ronald Reagan sent a congratulatory note to John Singlaub. Ronald Reagan was on the board of the Young Americans for Freedom in 1961, which was set up by William Buckley. That group was infiltrated. Now, all of this is on public record. This can be documented. He was on the board of the Young Americans for Freedom. General Walker brought the hitmen over from Munich to infiltrate the Young Americans for Freedom to kill Kennedy. Werner Naumann received word from General Walker about the possibility that, or propaganda item, that Lee Harvey Oswald was the assassin and a communist agent. Now, the character Karl Heinz Hoffmann, who is on trial now for murdering a leftist publisher in Italy, because this particular publisher, Shlomo Lewin, accused Karl Heinz Hoffmann in 1977 of being the new Führer. Now, Hoffmann connects with Manfred Roeder, who received the letter to spark the interest in Joseph Mengele's bones. Manfred Roeder is an associate of Ernst Zundel and the Aryan Nations Network. He supports their literature. Manfred Roeder worked with Karl-Heinz Hoffmann in the bombing of the Bologna train station in 1980 and in the October Munich Fest a couple of years later, where 13 people were killed. Karl-Heinz Hoffmann worked with Thomas Buscetta, one of the major characters on trial today in Italy that's responsible for blowing the Mafia's involvement in drug dealing and arms dealing over the last 30 years. Buscetta is exposing that the headquarters for his network was São Paulo, Brazil. Now, São Paulo, Brazil was where Romeo Tuma last summer gave us the Joseph Mengele's hoax. Romeo Tuma was a Syrian, which connects to the Henry Arsan network that was involved with the Bank Ambrosiano. São Paulo, Brazil is where the Killer Bee was unleashed, and now is up in Sacramento, California for some reason in Bridge underwater sewers. We have Thomas Buscetta revealing the connections of the Mafia with the intelligence communities that were involved with shooting the Pope, which connects with Michael Ledeen and the whole disinformation network that comes out of Reverend Moon's paper, Washington Times, which is promoting people like John Singlaub and making them a household word. John Singlaub was on Donahue. And how can people like this be on Donahue and pledge their dedication to Adolf Hitler with people who are in networks that support, that were members of the American military? Remember,
I'm going to interrupt here, Bob. Okay. A lot of people listen to this show and they think, hey, this is just ranting and this is just ardent listening. But there's a difference. And there's a difference if you compare it to people that Bob is often compared to. And I'm not trying to put Bob down, but I've dealt with phone calls. And they say this guy's a Keekster, this guy's a Zendel, he's nuts, he's throwing all around. There are a couple of key differences that should be discussed and that should be taken into account when listening to what Bob is saying. And they're the following. One, Bob is not aiming what he is saying at putting down a group of people. It's putting down it's identifying individuals whose names continually crop up in very particular situations. And that's a key difference. What Bob is saying is he's saying that someone like Fritz Kramer shows up at the Nuremberg trials as Fritz Kramer, an army general in Hitler's administration, and he shows up in the 60s and the 70s in the United States as an army general in Nixon's administration and continues in his position, and that question has to be answered. There are questions of that still arise out of the Kennedy assassination, and there are names that crop up in more than one place, in more than one highly sensitive place, and those questions have to be answered. Bob isn't answering questions so much as he's asking questions, and that's a key difference. I sat in on the Zendel trial, and as did David Neufeld, and both of us were struck by the fact that this wasn't the object of Zendel's intention. Was to put down a race of people, was to put down a group of faithless people, was to simply say that everybody was guilty by association. And I think it's important to illustrate that what Bob Marshall is doing is he's picking newspapers, and that's his source, and his sources are people who pick newspapers. And what they do is they just simply pull out names and file them. And when they go back to a file and look at Fritz Kramer, they watch how many times over the last 25, 30 years a name has cropped up. And it's not just Fritz Kramer, but that's the one that comes to mind. There's hundreds and hundreds of these names. And it's not so much that it's too big to understand, because it isn't too big to understand if you take each one name at a time. I think perhaps the trouble is that it's information overload. And sitting at home, because you can't keep up with what Bob is saying, you immediately start to dismiss it out of hand as being irrelevant. It isn't irrelevant. There are elements that are true. A couple of weeks ago, we did a show on the Queen and the power she has in Canada. And I quite vehemently denied the tight reins of power that she did have. And I, to a degree, still accept that theory. But what happened was, the next day, the day after we taped the show, the headline of the Toronto Star was, Queen tells Mulroney to strike deal on her behalf in the South African situation during the Commonwealth Conference. That's not verbatim, I'm not quoting it, but that was essentially the headline the day after the show. And that was the Queen exercising her power in Canada, telling the Prime Minister what she wanted from him. And nobody talks about the fact that what the Queen ostensibly did was stand up for South Africa. That isn't mentioned. What is mentioned is the fact that the Queen was simply asking something, was being kind, and was giving overtones. Well, that's not what she did. She exercised her power, and she used her position to create a situation where her financial interests weren't threatened. And it's not the Hudson Bay controlled Canada, which is what I disagreed with, and it's not that but there is an economic elite that controls Canada, and those economic elitists, and they are there, they're the bankers, they're the multinational owners, the ones with the Swiss bank accounts that make everyone suspicious, but they have a controlling interest in government, because a number of them are tightly controlled or tightly control politicians. You look at any major successful political campaign, and it has industrial backers, and those industrial backers shape foreign policy. Those names keep cropping up. Whether you like it or not, they keep cropping up. If the method by which Bob is feeding you this information disturbs you, you're missing the point. It's the information that should be disturbing you. And a lot of it might be way off. There is always mistake in investigation and documentation. Nothing is ever fully documented. It's impossible for the human condition to be fully explained that way. But he offers questions, and he offers you perspective, and he challenges you to look at what happens around you in the daily life in a different way. And if you ignore the challenge and you just dismiss what he says out of hand, you're missing the point. You're ignoring the question. there are problems, and at times he does overstep the bounds of the accepted norms, as we say in the tape, of mainstream journalism. But this station isn't about mainstream journalism. This station is about asking those questions that don't get asked and trying to find the answers to the questions that no one else will answer. And there are people that are honestly offended by Bob's show. They shouldn't be. They should welcome the opportunity and the challenge that it presents them.
Yeah, I think the interesting fact, to follow another little thread, is Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford was involved in intelligence in the Philippines. He comes back. He then becomes the chief congressional representative and liaison to the CIA. He then is put on the Warren Commission. Then he becomes president when a criminal is forced out of government, and he wasn't even elected in the vice president position. Gerald Ford still maintains that Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone assassin. I mean, even the Senate Committee in 1978 says that at least the mafia was involved, that it was a conspiracy, yet Gerald Ford still maintains that. Gerald Ford came out of the Philippine network of the 40s, which brought over Colonel Gale, who set up the Identity Group, the far-right weak network, which was the beginning of the Aryan Nations in 1960. He worked with Clay Shaw, that's Gale, worked with Clay Shaw, who was involved and charged by Jim Garrison in killing Kennedy.
Okay, Bob, let's play a little game, and I'll show the listeners why what you do is interesting. I'm going to give you a name, and you give me one reason why that person is dangerous. Nixon.
Nixon used Jack Ruby to start the witch hunt in the 40s.
Bobby Kennedy.
Bobby Kennedy, he worked with the McCarthy era. Now, the Marilyn Monroe situation has come up. It seems that obviously the Kennedys were involved with Monroe in some way. But Bobby Kennedy, after the Kennedy assassination, could never go into a detailed investigation of his brother's death because J. Edgar Hoover had on file all his private dealings with Marilyn Monroe, so he was blackmailed on that level. Bobby Kennedy worked with the buying or selling of Interhandel, which was the new name for IG Farben. Obviously, his father, who had Nazi connections and supported the Nazi movement in the 30s as ambassador to the Court of St. James, it wasn't an angel himself. But it seems that somebody was very worried about a Kennedy dynasty being set up.
The TWA hostage incident.
The fact that there were intelligence people murdered on that plane. Israeli intelligence.
The space shuttle.
Space shuttle, KAL-007, went down while it was up. And people think that it was monitoring the Russian abilities to monitor the KAL when it went into Russian territory.
The financial situation in South Africa.
That goes in with the Bank of Taiwan and the Nazi network through Reverend Moon. Dave Neufeld had a psychic on Wednesday predicting that Idi Amin would take over when this government would collapse, inevitably collapse the white government. I think that's a valid prediction to consider because both in the white people will put up a black front, but there's a whole Nazi network that funded Idi Amin, and it would look like it was a black government, but I think it would continue the tyranny.
Golda Meir.
Golda Meir, she died, and according to Dr. Beter, Rabin came in, but then Begin, who was the most wanted terrorist since the 40s, as far as the British were concerned, was put in to make Israel a more warlike entity in the Middle East. I think Golda Meir was a fine prime minister, but some faction came in after her, after they got rid of Rabin.
Gorbachev.
Gorbachev seems to be a Christian. A lot of the media is saying that they're playing a real clever game at making themselves look more like us than we are in leading up to the summit. But Dr. Beter predicted that Gorbachev predicted that Gorbachev would be the leader of the 80s 3 years ago. I mean, nobody even heard about Gorbachev. Gorbachev, he said, was a member of the secret Christian group and would be the man to give a new image to Russia. Okay, so he may be trying to appear like a Christian. He mentioned God 8 times in the Time magazine interview. That's strange for a Marxist-Leninist. Why don't we consider what Dr. Beter said, that maybe he means it?
Let's try Michael Pitfield of the Privy Council here in Canada.
Well, that's the LaRouche's area, and he is the main representative for the power through the British monarchy that represent the feudal oligarch families in Europe that have had their hold on Canada since the beginning of the Commonwealth.
Nelson Rockefeller.
Nelson Rockefeller, through his building Rockefeller Center in New York, brought in the Nazis through the Project Paperclip, which Richard Nixon was part of. George de Mornfield, who was Lee Harvey Oswald's mentor, was caught, and he was also accused of being an anti-spy before the end of the Second World War. George Monroe was caught with a card with Nelson Rockefeller's name on it. Now, they could have been setting up Rockefeller, but obviously Rockefeller was working with these Nazis for his own purposes. It seems that he lost. In the mid-70s, everybody was screaming in the far right and the conspiracy literature that Rockefeller would take over the United States. Mabe Russell was a lone voice to say, watch out for Ronald Reagan. Well, in 1979, when Reagan's starting to move in for the presidency, Rockefeller's dead and Reagan's president.
Jack Kemp.
Jack Kemp, I'll pass on that.
At any rate, I think what we've done is we've illustrated in short, chopped up sentences instead of one long story the possibility and the questions that are raised. Now, we could go on, and there's a couple more that I think should go on, and I think that there are people that are on the horizon, people that are starting to make waves in the communication fields, which is the field which controls politics and finance right now, and I think Ted Turner. I want to know why I should be questioning Ted Turner.
Well, Ted Turner is working with Jesse Helms, and Jesse Helms is a strong member of the World Anti-Communist League and part of that John Singlob network that supports the death squads in El Salvador. Ted Turner and is working with J. Peter Grace, who is the main representative of the Vatican, the Knight of Malta, the head Knight of Malta. His associate is Pat Robertson, his old roommate, Pat Robertson at Yale. He's going to be...
Who's Pat Robertson's old roommate?
J. Peter Grace at Yale. J. Peter Grace's father ran Peru until the 60s, I guess. J. Peter Grace then brought over Otto Ambrose when he took over his father's company. Otto Ambrose was the manufacturer and inventor of Zyklon B, the gas that was used in the concentration camps. Now, that is who J. Peter Grace hired and works with in his company. He is a Knight of Malta. His friend Pat Robertson is a Knight of Malta and is being pushed by the fundamentalist movement and the Jerry Falwell gang to be president. And part of that is the need to control Dan Rather. So Ted Turner and Jesse Helms want to take over the CBS because the media plays that much of a role. They can talk it up about Pat Robertson, but once they get him in, they have to be able to control the response to him as president.
Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher, LaRouche said that Margaret Thatcher, when she came in 1979, was the beginning of a thermonuclear struggle or a thermonuclear strike posture by the European oligarchs. And we know the world got quite depressing after 1979. It even, I think, caused problems for the Rockefellers, and they had to raise interest rates just to keep their money, their cash flow going, because the Pentagon had been hijacked by John Singlob and those guys. Margaret Thatcher is like Ronald Reagan, definitely designed to whip up hysteria about Russia, just like the recent shooting of Leon Klinghoffer. It seems that May, I just heard May's latest tape on it, and she brings in 100 other deaths that happened that week that are more significant in the sense of the ramifications for Americans in America that involve terrorist activities within the states. And yet Reagan is saying that Mohammed Abbas, whatever his name is, I think that's what it is the number one most wanted man in the United States. Yet he's ignoring the terrorism and biological warfare that is going on right in his backyard under Rajneesh commune. So May is very upset about the Leon Klinghoffer. I mean, it's a tragedy that man had to die, but there's obviously so much theater involved in it. She says she predicts, you watch, in a couple of years, a lot of information will come out that how much that was staged.
Okay, now, we could go on with this, and we'll end with one final name. Before we do that, I think what I'm trying to illustrate by this exercise, and it is an exercise because I'm putting Bob through the workhouse, but at any rate, what happens is that when you read a newspaper, you don't read every story. When you watch a television news service, you don't watch every single story. And when you listen to the radio, you don't hear every single story. And what happens is there are small stories that slip between the cracks. And I can name a couple of them in the last few weeks, which I think were important. The IMF cutting loans. The afternoon after the earthquake in Mexico, there was $85 million in loans cut to Mexico. No one talks about the ramifications. They knew about it, and they still cut the loans. There's other things. There's Ortega meeting Reagan in the United Nations. I saw one story on that. I still mention it to people. They go, I didn't see that. They met and they talked. What was said? Because something was said, and Reagan has a responsibility to answer what was said. And Ortega should be asked what was said. Did they say it in Spanish or English?
Yeah, another reason for what I like about May is you have somebody who reads 10 to 20 newspapers a day, which none of us can do, but she's wealthy enough to take the time, and when she has the background she has through extensive disciplined study, she has an understanding of the events immediately. I think her main theory about Klinghoffer, I forgot to mention, is that this was to make Arafat look really bad, and because he was going to address the United Nations, now Reagan's not going to let him in because of that. And Arafat is trying to be a moderate, and May even recognize Israel. Immediately, his spin-off group, the Abbas group, the 417 group, I think they're called, who go back to the killing of the Israeli athletes in Munich, they go on this violent spree just to distract the attention from Arafat. Another headline, or a headline, that a story that should have been on the screaming headlines everywhere, and top story in Dan Rather, was the death of Baker Kalin. This man is a key witness in the arms and drug smuggling involved with the bank in Broziano, and he also was involved in shooting the Pope. This guy is gone. Now, the Turkish prosecutor wanted to hang him immediately last summer, and Mayor Bessel said, well, if they don't hang him, he'll die through what Nelson Bunker Hunt set up in the 60s, the simulated heart attack through a gas gun. Now, he dies of a heart attack on October 14th. If that wasn't headline news, this is a key witness, this is a key figure for history.
And there's another piece of headline news, which, and the irony in this thing was that it was someone clipped out a copy of the Toronto Star article, which was detailing the horrendous incidences in Hamilton, which we, I don't think we should even touch right now. It's still unfolding. But in terms of what was on the other side of that article, was an article, a little tiny article, on page 2 of the Star, next to the weather column, about DeLorean having a heart attack. Now, DeLorean has made headlines repeatedly. Every single time he moves, he's made a headline. Yet when he gets put in hospital and is near death, that's not a headline.
Yeah, and the background to that, which was what I was trying to weave my thread, I was going to get to that. I started off with Gordon Novel. We come around full circle. Gordon Novel, after getting DeLorean off, and admitting that he nailed Larry Flint and the exposure that Larry Flint was going to do, he said that he is very proud of what he did to Larry Flint. Now Flint's brainwashed and sort of a vegetable in his mansion in Los Angeles. Now Gordon Novel moves in back to Columbus, where the Defense Industrial Security Command was set up, the Permadex Front, and he says he's going to help John DeLorean build up some new business in the state of Ohio that the governor gave a safe and sanctuary during the Garrison trial. In that state, here's DeLorean and Novel working together. But maybe DeLorean doesn't know. He was being used because now he's suffering a heart attack. I wouldn't be surprised Gordon Novel was involved with that, though I wouldn't want to. I want to say this, that May Brussel, everything she says, she wants to go to court about. She's built up such a strong case that everything I weaved in that first 7 minutes, she would love to have the opportunity if she had some team, or she could even get the media to recognize her. She would love to go to court about these details. I mean, these are not speculation. This is a public record. It's just that the media is not connecting the events like she is.
I think the key to the whole thing, and this is the final note, and we have to turn off after this, but I think the key to the whole thing was the first international connection that I ever heard. And it was the Sherman Skolnick tape, and it was a tape that explained Ronald Reagan. And it brought two points and just threw them at me. And they didn't attempt to tie them together with rope, and they didn't attempt to flutter me with documents. They just said, why do these two situations exist? First, when the Allies were bombing Germany in the Second World War, there were instructions from American corporations on which industrial outfits not to hit. Now, it was publicly stated, it's on public record, that if the reason they did this was that they were going to rebuild Germany, they would need industrial complexes which to operate. And they figured that if they hit out key ones, armament factories, they'd be okay. But if they left the major tools of industry alive, they could survive. So what happened was a number of American-owned plants weren't bombed. Among them were General Electric plants, some of which were manufacturing weapons, but they left the General Electric plants all alone. Okay? Ronald Reagan, in the 1960s, was a spokesman for General Electric, and the people behind General Electric are still financing, through an organization in California called the Grassroots Organization, a number of other, the Kitchen Cabinet is another name they go by, are still financing Ronald Reagan. Now, this isn't to say that the two are, that the Reagan's a Nazi, and it's not to say that it's all part of one master plan, but there are two questions there that have to be answered. And they can be answered separately, or they can be answered in one package. It's not important, but it's an important connection. And the second one that I was to talk about, of a connection, is the Fritz Kramer connection. It's a fascinating possibility. Is it the same Fritz Kramer? Is it the same Fritz Kramer that was a general in Hitler's army and was on trial at Nuremberg, the same Fritz Kramer that is on staff at the Pentagon?
It's a legitimate question.
It's a legitimate question. And the point is, this whole show is called The International Connection. And what it is, it's an attempt to draw together the various forms of international media, the various thoughts on international politics, and trying to figure out where the connections are and which connections should be questioned. We've given you a straight half hour without asking for a pledge. A straight half hour. Critical Culture is up next, and you'll be moving away from the field of political thought and into a much less structured and much more sort of imaginative thought. This has been the International Connection. It comes to you every single Saturday, usually by way of tape, but today we're live and we're looking for pledge donors. If what we just said has had some relevancy to you, has cleared up why we do the International Connection, if the questions we've raised are important to you, the number to call is 598-2182. There's still some prizes from various giveaways just prior to our thing. The $20 donation gets you a cassette tape of a Chilean songwriter. There's some Cuban news songs for $25. Our time subscriptions are still available. These are all various forms of media which help to let us all try and understand the massive flow of information that comes at us every day. Just because you haven't read it in a newspaper doesn't mean it hasn't happened. And just because you've read it in a newspaper doesn't mean it has happened. Let's talk about it. Well, that's what the show's about. 598-2182. One final word from Bob and away we go.
Yeah, let's hear from Mae Bressel.
Do you know that listener-sponsored radio is the best news and the best programming and music that you can get? And do you know that Mae Bressel has the best news in the entire world? That's why it's called World Watchers. Where else can you get it? Where else can you learn about it? There are a few stations, but they're listener-sponsored. So contribute to that station. Make tapes and copies of your broadcast and play them back years later. Let's see what you got for your money.
What is your news?
Another edition of File 88 on CKLN. My name is Dave Creelman. Thanks go out to Dave Neufeld, Jeff Hollingshead, Yaron Waxman, Jim McGregor, Adam Vaughn, Bob Marshall, and if I've forgotten anybody, the rest of the gang.